We're turning in our Bibles this evening to the New Testament, to the second epistle of Peter, and the chapter 3, 2 Peter chapter 3. And we'll read just from the beginning of the chapter. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandments of us the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us ward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen. We know that God will bless the reading of his own precious word to each of our hearts. Before we come to prayer tonight, could I just briefly draw your attention to that verse 8. Peter said, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. And 1,000 years as one day. After Pentecost, we find a great wave of persecution sweeping across the early church, many of its converts being driven from their homes. They were forced to live amongst people they did not know and customs they did not care for. Christians were robbed not only of their possessions, but many of them were robbed of their liberty. These flames of persecution growing hotter and hotter, many of them began to look for the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. After all, 30 years had now passed since the Savior's ascension, and the skies failing to break open, revealing the returning Savior, fears and doubts began to fill their minds. From the words of verse 9, it seems that they were accusing the Lord of slackness, of failing to fulfill his promise to come again. And beholding their unbelief, Peter now reminded them that 1,000 years were but a day in the eyes of God. And as such, while 30 years seemed to them a very long period of time, yet in the eyes of God it was but a blink. It was not that he had forgotten to come or that he had failed to come, but it was not time yet for him to come. And seeking to confirm that his promises had not failed, Peter told them in the following verse that the Lord is not slack concerning his promises. The word slack there means to tarry or to loiter. In other words, he would not be slow to fulfill his promise, but that every promise that he had given to them was absolutely sure and certain. In time, in God's time, they would be fulfilled. And because that promise has not been fulfilled, does not mean that it will not be fulfilled. My, the Lord is always or in time. Indeed, the Lord appearing to Abraham, he promised to give him a land flowing with milk and honey. And while 400 years passed before he fully received the land, yet the promise was fulfilled. Again, he promised Abraham a son, but it was 25 years before Isaac was born. Read through the pages of the Old Testament and you'll find the Lord promising Moses and David a Savior. However, it was not until approximately 2,000 years later that the Savior was born. You see, the promises of God may not always be fulfilled immediately, but they will always be fulfilled. 1,000 years are but a day in his eyes. Susanna Wesley, the mother of John and Charles Wesley, was brought up in a Puritan home. She was the youngest of 25 children. She became the wife of a chronically debt-ridden parish rector in a small village in England. On one occasion, she said, "I have had a large experience of what the world calls adverse fortune." And yet, sometime later, taking up her pen, she wrote in a letter, "God will not fail to perform what he has promised." Because that promise has not been fulfilled does not mean that the promise or the person that made the promise has failed. Never forget that 1,000 years are but a day in the sight of God. You see, believer, tonight it may seem a long time to you since you read that promise. It may seem a long time to you since you got down in your knees and you pleaded that promise before the throne of God. And maybe you've been tempted to say, "God's word is not true. God does not keep his word." But remember tonight that God is not slack concerning his promises, and that 1,000 years are but a day in his sight. My believer tonight, be patient. God's calendar is not the same as our calendar. Be patient. Plead the promise. God will fulfill it. And so I want this evening, just for a short period of time, to consider time and what Peter tells us here about time. You notice firstly here that time to God is present. Seeking to sweep away their foolish notions concerning time, Peter said in verse 8, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." While the events of today are very close to us and in our minds, the events of 1,000 years ago, they are very, very distant. Indeed, so distant that we don't need to trouble or concern ourselves really with them. However, 1,000 years being but a day in the sight of God, those events such as the creation of the world, the destruction of the world, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, which seem to us to be very distant, yet they are to the Lord close at hand. In other words, he was indicating here that all events with God are equally present. You see, with God, there is no past and there is no future. All things are equally present. Indeed, the Lord revealing himself to Moses, he did not say, "I was," nor did he say, "I will be," but he said in Exodus 3, verse 14, "I am that I am." And he said, "Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you." In the Arabic, it literally means the eternal, who passeth not away. And he uses here the present tense. In other words, the Lord was reminding Moses that with him there was no past and there was no present, but that all things, or no future, all things were equally present with him. You see, God is not held captive by time, but rather he is the creator of time. Dwelling outside of time, all things are equally present with him. Stephen Charnock was an English Puritan or Presbyterian way back in the 1600s. And speaking about time, he said, though there be a succession, an order of things as they exist, there is no succession in God in regard to the knowledge of them. Imagine you this 12th going by to the 12th of July parade down in the center of Lurgan. You're standing there right at the pavement. And as the bands go by, you can only see one band at the time. But then you decide, I go down to the bottom of the town or the head of the town, whatever you want to call it. I go down to the big church and I climb to the top of the cathedral and you look up the street. And in one glance, you can see all of the bands at one time. Or imagine standing on a lofty mountain and looking down a long, deep valley. And as you look down, you are able to see not only a little bit of the river flowing in part of the valley, but you can see the whole of the river. You can see it springing up out of Mother Earth. You can see it making its way, flowing into the ocean, and then disappearing. And while we are able only to see one event at a time. Why? We are like that person watching the parade at the curbside. We can only see a little bit at a time. God sees the whole course of time. Each moment is equally present to him. My friend, the events of 2,000 years ago, the cross, the grave, the resurrection, in God's reckoning, they are present. Why, that unconfessed sin or that failure in our life may seem to us a long, long distant away. So distant away that perhaps we have forgotten the details. We have forgotten all about it. It is not distant with God. It is with God as if it had been committed today. Equally, that service that you did for God, that service that my other individuals have forgotten about because it's so far back in time, my friend, has not been forgotten by God. It is as if that service was done today. You see, God is not bound by time. God, all things are present. Looking on you and me, he sees not only our birth, our conversion, but he sees our death. God is outside of time. All things are present with him. He hasn't forgotten our deeds. He hasn't forgotten those prayers. They, though offered by you years ago, they are as if they're just rising even now. To him. Not only is time present to God, but time to God is powerless. The passing of years brings change. Though you might like to think of yourself still as a trendy teenager, yet your hair has begun to turn gray and it has become a little thinner. In contrast, Peter reminds these believers in verse 8 that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. And 1,000 years as one day. 50 years, never talk about 1,000 years, bring change. You're not as supple and as strong as once you were. Your pace has slackened and your grasp has weakened. In contrast to 1,000 years, one day brings very, very little change. You see someone in the morning and in the evening, they just look exactly the same. They are no more grayer than they were in the morning. They're no more stooped than they were in the morning. Intellectually, they're just the same. And as such, 1,000 years being but a day with God, it therefore makes no change in him. He is always the same. You see, God is not only invisible, but God is immutable. Time does not change, nor can it diminish him. Indeed, the psalmist said in Psalm 104 in the verse 31, "The glory of the Lord shall endure forever. The Lord shall rejoice in his work." If his glory endures forever, it means that his glory will never change. Again, speaking to the men of Malachi's day, the Lord said in Malachi 3, verse 6, "For I am the Lord. I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not." You see, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The years cannot diminish him, nor can they change him. The writer said, yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. You see, God being perfect, he cannot change for the better. And God being perfect, he cannot change for the worse. He is eternally the same. Our love for him at times rises high, and at other times it sinks down into a very low ebb. But God's love towards us, it never, never changes. He who loved us yesterday loves us today, and he loves us tomorrow, and he will love us for all of eternity. Sometimes people get discouraged and downcast, and they throw up their arms in despair. But my friend, the God who delivered the children of Israel, he who opened up the waters of the Red Sea, who swallowed the Egyptians, the God of Pentecost who came and smote the hearts of multitudes, changing their lives, he's still the same. He hasn't changed. The years have not wearied him, nor can they change him. And here is our confidence as we come to pray tonight, that the God of the apostles, that the God of the reformers, that the God of our forefathers, he's still the same God. The God of revival in 1859 and in other times, he hasn't changed. He is eternally the same. Not only is time to God powerless, but time to God is perpetual. Drawing their eyes upward, he said, verse 8, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." If 1,000 years is a long period of time to an adult, it is a very, very, very long period of time to a child. 1,000 years ago, William the Conqueror had not even landed in England. Even Methuselah, the oldest man in the history of the world, did not reach a millennium. And by saying that 1,000 years were but a day in God's sight, or as the psalmist put it in the 90th Psalm, a watch in the night, he was here indicating surely the endlessness of his years. You see, God is eternal. He is neither beginning nor ending of days. Indeed, the psalmist lifting up his pen and expressing God's eternity, he said in Psalm 90 in the verse 2, "Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God." And he reminded them that the Lord not only existed when there was nothing else, but he will still exist when the heavens and the earth have passed away. He's without beginning, and he is without ending. You see, God is not only tender, God is timeless. He will never cease to be. Thomas Brooks, the great Puritan, said, "God can neither die or lie. A death and dumb man in one of the institutions of Paris many years ago was asked to write on a slate the idea of God's eternity. And taking up the slate, he wrote, "It is duration without beginning nor end, existence without bound or dimension, youth without infancy, our old age." And praise God tonight, he who was our refuge in days gone by is our refuge and will always be our refuge. When this world is old and cracked and weakening, God will still be upon the throne of heaven. Oh, believer, tonight he will never be too feeble to help you in your time of need. His eye will never be so dim that he cannot see you. He is the eternal God. Time and years and events, they cannot weary him. And when this world is gone, he will still be there reigning and ruling. Also notice, time to God is productive. Verse 8, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day." He tells us here that 1,000 years are but a day in God's sight. In other words, he was indicating here, surely, that what man would accomplish in 1,000 years, God could accomplish in a year. In other words, there is no limit in his power, no limit to what he can do. God is not limited, but limitless. He can do in a moment of time what it takes men millenniums to do. Indeed, appearing unto the patriarch Abraham, he said in Genesis 17, verse 1, "I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect." And he reminded him that not only was he God, or that he was the mighty God, but he reminded him that he was the Almighty God. Sarah eavesdropping and hearing how she would bring forth a son in her old age, she began to laugh. But God of the last laugh. In the 90 years of age, she brought forth the promised son. You see, God tonight, he is not merely mighty, but he is almighty. With him, impossibilities are but possibilities. It takes men's decades to build a city, but in 6 days, God created the heavens and the earth and all that in them is. NATO forces bombed Iraq for weeks. They bombed Afghanistan for years, and they're still there. But God, in a few days, destroyed the whole earth with a flood. You see, to a snail, a mile is a long distance. And while it may take that snail days to travel that distance, a car can do it in a few seconds. And similarly, what it takes man centuries to accomplish, God can do it in a few seconds. You remember the Iron Curtain and how that wall might divide the east from the west. The world was at loggerheads. It was seemed as if it would be a permanent division between the nations of the world. No one dreamed of the day of that wall crumbling. But in one day, the wall came down. There is no limitations with God. God is able to do in a day what it takes men millenniums to do. The hymn writer said, he's able. I know he is able. I know my Lord is able. carry me through. And if only we ask, if only we ask, he can do it. And maybe you've come to the place of prayer, discouraged, downcast. You've been praying, praying for family, praying for wayward children. Perhaps there's some other situation in your life, and you've been asking. And you feel like these believers that Peter was writing to, that God is not keeping the promise. But remember, my friend, 1,000 years are but a day in the eyes of God. God will not forget. His timing is always perfect. And my, there's nothing that he cannot do. And in his time, he will come. In his time, he will do that thing. Oh, tonight, may we be able to lift up our eyes, to get our eyes of our situation, of our circumstances, and get our eyes up unto God and behold him. Behold him, the mighty, the almighty God. There is nothing that he cannot do. Oh, may God help us to see him more clearly, even this evening. We're going to close or sing another hymn together. We're going to sing the hymn 90. Oh, how sweet the glorious message simple faith may claim, yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. Hymn number 90, we're singing the first 4 verses of the hymn. Again, we'll keep our seats while we sing.
Faithless Thomas, oh my God, look.
Going to come down to prayer this evening, and we'd like to encourage you one after another, as many as possible, even just to leave your burdens before the Lord. Do remember, of course, the various works here in connection with our own congregation, the Beeline tomorrow night, the youth on Friday, the meetings on the Sabbath day as well. And don't forget, we a few months ago put out the leaflet, 25,000 copies of it. Be easy to forget it, but let's pray. Let's pray that God will still use those even for the opening of hearts and the drawing of souls even to himself. Could I ask you also maybe to remember a dear brother. He attended seminar meetings last week at Carmichael in Pakistan. It's in connection with our mission board. He took a brain hemorrhage just last night. He's 32 years of age and he's critically ill. He's married and with one child. So certainly would like you to remember that brother and to remember his wife and family. It's a dark time for them, that they'll know the Lord's comfort and help even at this time. Also even tonight, do remember the work in the land of Nepal. I think Nepal is marked down even in the missionary calendar for this time. So do remember that. Our sister Miss Joy Gillespie labouring there. I'm not sure if she's not on her way home or home, she's coming home shortly. I know we'll have her here in March to tell of the work in Nepal. And could I ask you also, Mr. Ferguson has asked me to mention you. Mr. Ferguson has been looking after the work in Mullaghlass. The Reverend Paul Fitzsimons has not been well now for a year, but he's going back to the prayer meeting tonight. To speak at the prayer meeting. So we'd ask you very especially to remember our brother, that he know the Lord's help and that he will be able to get back again to taking the meetings there in Mullaghlass. So please do remember him and remember his wife. It's been an anxious year for them as a family as well. So there's much to pray about. There's other matters that I'm sure upon your heart. And we like to encourage you just one after another to leave them before the Lord. So let's come to the Lord in prayer tonight. Our gracious God and eternal heavenly Father, we thank thee that thou art the great God, the almighty God. We thank thee that although thou art infinite and eternal, yet thou art a God full of compassion. We think, Lord, of how that when you saw the state of the multitude and their hunger and them fainting, you wept. And we thank you, Lord, that thou hast a very special interest in thy children, not only their spiritual well-being, but also their physical well-being as well. And we do remember this dear brother in the land of Pakistan. We thank him, Lord, that for those meetings. And we pray that even at this time when he is so ill, that even the truths that were taught at those meetings would be of a great comfort to him at this particular time. Lord, we thank thee that no matter how dark the valley, that thou art able to cast a light into it. And so we pray, be with them and bless them. But most of all, Lord, we ask that you be pleased to give the doctors wisdom and to raise them to health and strength. We think he has a wife and a child who are very dependent even upon him. And so, Lord, we pray that you would raise them up. And even until that day come, Lord, that you would provide for his wife and provide for the child, and that you would bless them richly in their own souls. We know, Lord, tonight that there's many, even in connection with their own congregation, and they're going through dark valleys at this time. They're in the midst of illness, and we pray, Lord, that you would draw alongside of them and that you would encourage them. We do remember again our brother Sidney. Lord, draw near to him. He's been a long time now in hospital. We think of his wife not well at this time too. And Lord, draw near to them. And if it be thy will, raise him to health and strength and strengthen his wife. We remember Mrs. Adair tonight. Lord, be with her. Encourage her. We pray, touch her in body. We pray the same for Mrs. Heather Beattie. She has been a long time in and out of hospital. And Lord, just come alongside, we pray. Remember Mrs. McKinley, misses the meeting so much. Draw near to her this evening. Lord, there's so many others and they're not well. We think even of our sister Mrs. Todd and Ian, even in this time, isolating as well. Draw alongside of them. And Lord, there's others in our congregation going through that same thing at this time. And we pray, keep your hand upon them and undertake for them. Lord, we think of the panic that is in the world, even because of COVID. And yet we recognize there's a greater danger facing men and women, and that is their sin, the judgment, a lost eternity. And yet, Lord, they drift on day by day, careless, taking no precautions, just my plunging on deep in sin, driving every thought of eternity, imagining that if they think there is no God, that they will do away with thy existence. Lord, make them to see their foolishness. Bring them to their knees, we ask of thee. Lord, you've placed us in this town, and we pray for this surrounding area especially. We think of those leaflets that were given out. We pray, Lord, that you would continue even to speak through them. And Lord, that hearts would be stirred and that even they would come online. We thank thee for those that we know, even Roman Catholics that we know in this town or have heard of, and they listen in to the service. And Lord, we cry to thee that thou wouldst take thy word and that thou wouldst make it a hammer that would break their hardened hearts in pieces. We long to see them in the kingdom. We long to see them rejoicing. We long, Lord, to see them in this prayer meeting, praying for them, their all their relatives and workmates to come to thee. Lord, send us a breath of revival. Lord, thou art able. Thou art able to do in a moment what man takes millenniums to do. Lord, men tried to change society, and we've watched them, and some have come with the best of intentions, but they've only made it worse. Lord, come and make it a right. Come and make it a right, we ask of thee. Answer prayer. Be with us in this season of prayer tonight. Lord, put in our hearts what you would have us to pray for. Take from us that which is not thy will, and help us to plead with thee. For Jesus' sake we pray.